Hello again, everybody. It's Pastor Adam, and got a very frequently discussed topic. And you know, I wanted to discuss a question we hear or have heard frequently, all over the planet. Why? The question is, why should it matter to me whether or not God is dead or alive? Now, and why would we even care so much about that? Now, before I get into this, I already told you what we're going to talk about, but let's acknowledge the presence of God. So, Father, we thank you for today. We are grateful that you are alive. We are yearning to be with you in eternity. And we thank you for giving us this day because we know there's a purpose for us and that you have an assignment for us. We ask for your forgiveness of the areas in our lives where we're not living righteous and holy according to your guidelines. We ask for your grace and mercy, and we thank you through the blood, the shed blood of Yeshua Yamashiach, Jesus the Messiah. And it's through him we come to you today again. Amen. So I want to just like cut to the chase here with a sentence from the Bible that, you know, a couple of verses here in the Bible that not only answers this question directly, but also answers it, I think, in an exciting way. Here are the words of one of Jesus's closest followers, Simon Peter. It's in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. And I read it from the Message Bible translations, which says this: because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven, and the future starts now. Hallelujah. That's kind of like exciting news there. No wonder the truth about Jesus is called the good news. This is the reason that the followers of Jesus Christ should be enthusiastic about life and specifically about right here, right now. Now, let's just break down this sentence of good news about the living God and what it really says to us. I don't want to take anything for granted. First off here, these scriptures say that because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life. When any one of us gives their heart and their life submits to Jesus Christ, right? When you trust Jesus as God's Son and trust Jesus as your Savior, the Word of the living God says you, that those that do that, will get a brand new life. So let's not just gloss that over. Let's get very real right here and now. Because here's the deal. There's honestly very little new stuff in this realm that we live in. Most of it is just repackaged, repositioned, relabeled, or retitled. Many a book comes out claiming something new, right? They get nice little catchphrases. They get a lot of reviewers. Then all of a sudden they'd say, well, wait, this book is just like the same old thing. It's just packaged in a different way, and there's nothing really new about it at all. Right? People will say it's just a lot of hype that lures in gullible people seeking a quick fix for their troubles. And I'm just saying that. The point I'm trying to get across is many people believe something is new when in actuality it isn't at all. In other words, there really is very little that is actually new in our world. But God says in his word, he wants to give us a brand new life. He wants to give us an opportunity to start over. He wants to give us an opportunity to begin again. And Simon Peter, the guy who penned these words here in 1 Peter, knew from personal experience what God was talking about in this situation, right? Peter was an eyewitness. He walked and talked with Yeshua before and after his resurrection. And Peter had firsthand experience about the change that knowing Jesus Christ can bring to oneself. In other words, Peter knew it from personal experience. He knew about getting this brand new life. When Simon Peter and Jesus, right, when Simon and Jesus first met, Jesus changed his name from Simon to Peter. It's recorded in John chapter 1, verse 42. Now, when you just do a little research on the name Simon back then, Simon basically means heard or listening. The name Peter back then meant a small rock, a stone, a pebble. So Jesus is basically saying to Peter, your human weakness is swayed by the limitations the world tells you, Simon, right? Because he's a listener. That means listening. But Jesus says, but I'm going to mold you and transform your character, Peter, into a boulder for all to see in the future, and I'm going to give you a brand new life. This is what's going on with Jesus. He is a prophet. He's prophesying how Simon was going to change because of his relationship with Jesus, right? How Simon was going to transform. One of the most notable transformation was Peter then, right? A few years later, Peter preaching the first, like what we call the first official sermon in the church age, right? And thousands of people made decisions for Christ when they heard what Peter said, recorded in Acts chapter 2. All right, and what part of what Peter was repeating was just what was in Joel. The prophet Joel said hundreds of years earlier in Joel chapter 2. See, Jesus knows the potential that's inside each one of us. And not only does he know it, he has the ability to help you reach your greatest potential. Jesus has the power to help you make positive changes in your life. And he's ready, he's willing, he's able to transform us from a hearer or a listener into a rock-solid believer, and he offers us a brand new life. He gives new life when we accept him because Jesus is all about life. He says in John chapter 10, verse 10, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. Now, another one of Jesus' first followers is John, right? Well, John says this, recorded in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 4, about Jesus. He says, life began with Jesus. His life was the light for men. Now, one of the reasons that it matters so much that Jesus is alive is that we need someone to help us reach our greatest potential. We need someone to help us make positive change. We need someone who can give us a brand new life. And I'm not talking here, because what we tend to do is we go, I'm not talking about these self-help guru type of people. We're talking about someone who can do for us what no human being can do. What things that I'm talking about that we can't do for ourselves. We're talking about someone who can give us a spiritual life. Someone who imparts supernatural, spiritual power to us. And one great supernatural power is this power to change. God's power in us helps us make the positive life changes that we need, that we can't make on our own. This power to give us brand new life. When the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, that we have a brand new life, it's talking about how Christ brings spiritual life. We're all given the gift of physical life when we're born. We had no say about that. But we have this opportunity to accept this new life, this new spiritual life. Let me try to explain it this way. Every one of us on earth should strive to be born twice. Because if that happens, then we only die once. But if we're only born once, just the natural physical born once, then you're going to die twice. Born twice, that phrase I'm using is we're born naturally, right? As we're birthed from our mothers. And then born again, like what Jesus said, right, to Nicodemus. You have to be born again. And if that happens, then you will have what will happen when you die is your flesh will return to dust, but your soul and spirit will live forever in heaven. If you're only born of your mother, then you will die and flesh will return to the dust and your soul and dead spirit will die another death in hell, the lake of fire. Listen to what Jesus says here in John chapter 5, Verse 24, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. That right there, that's why we should be so pumped up about Jesus being alive. The moment any one of us says yes to Jesus as their Lord and Savior, right? I'm going to surrender my life to you, Jesus. It's like we step over that line from spiritual death into spiritual life. We're born again. Our spirit was dead, but now it's alive. We are immediately at that point going forward, beginning this transformation process in this new spiritual life. We begin this journey of getting out of the temporal state and we're into the eternal state. And this new life gives us the spiritual resources to grow in positive ways that we couldn't prior. For instance, if we need to change in the area of being more responsible, well, Jesus Christ can help. If you're listening here and you're battling things like maybe envy or jealousy or greed or lust, fear, anxiety, I mean, that's just a few things. There's so many more, right? If you need to change, if you're frustrated at the rut you're in, there's someone willing and able to help you change. He's willing to give his advice through his word, the Bible. He's willing to coach you. He wants to be your personal spiritual trainer. He wants to be your teacher, your disciple, your discipler. He wants to be your friend. You know, our American culture, right, as well as many other cultures around the world, are becoming increasingly more friendless. I found a recent study done by the American Sociological Review, and it indicates that the average American has no more than, at the most, they have two close friends. Just 40 years ago, it was three. In the last 20 years, our circle of close friends has been growing smaller and smaller. I suspect we can admit that social media has had an enormous impact in this area. In this same study I was looking at, those reporting no confidants at all, where 40 years ago it was 10%, now it's 25%. So 25% of the people at least around us believe they have no one they can turn to when they really need a friend. Even the share of Americans reporting a healthy circle of four or five friends has plunged from 33% 40 years ago to just around 15% now. But here's the deal. None of us have to go without a friend when Jesus lives to be our friend. Okay? Amen? Another reason Christ's resurrection means so much is that the Bible says here that we have everything to live for. It matters that Christ is alive because it gives meaning to our daily lives. If we go through our entire life without knowing our purpose, without knowing why God put us on this earth, then we've severely missed something that is truly wonderful. And you got to be alert here. You got to be careful right here with this because, folks, having a meaningful life is not the same as having a busy life. It's not the same of having a life of achieving success or acquiring things. There's nothing wrong with, you know, the worldly accolades of success or acquiring things. But the joy received from them doesn't last. I know a lot of you listening right now will admit that. You wanted this thing so bad, you got it, and then you're like, was that all? Now I need something else. We all need something that gives us constant meaning, eternal meaning. And where do we get that from? There's only one place, from God. He created us. See, we didn't create ourselves. We were made by God in His image, and He made us for a purpose. And until we understand that we were made by God and for God, life isn't going to make sense. That's why my favorite scripture is Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is. And until you get that, none of this Christianity makes much sense. It'll only be like a little flicker of a firecracker. Or that's why so many people are confused, and they're being taught inaccurately by many a preacher, many a congregation, a church body has been inaccurately taught about what it means to be a Christian. We were made by God to have a relationship with Him. God knows you, He loves you, and He wants you to know Him and love Him. And I'm not talking about religion, folks. God's not interested in the kind of religion that we have going on. He's interested in a relationship with you. We were made by God to have a relationship with God. And there's a problem. The Creator, God, is perfect. And we're not. So there's this big gap between us and God. But God so loves us, He solved that problem by coming to earth in the form of a human named Yeshua, who died for all of the sins of all the sinners for all time. He paid for every wrong thing we've ever done so that we wouldn't have to pay for it. And you and I have the opportunity to accept the payment Jesus made or not. And it's a free choice on our part. But we've got to personally choose it to receive it. We can't count on our spouse. We can't count on our neighbor. We have to make the choice, and we have to make it public. And then, what manifests after you receive that? Well, here's the deal. You stop living for yourself, and you start living for the Creator. Contrary to what the world is telling us, we were not made to live for ourselves. We were made to live for God. And a lot of people are unnecessarily fearful of this idea. See, when we start living for God, we discover real happiness, real meaning, real significance, real purpose in our daily lives. Because you're not living for little old you anymore. You're living for God. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 5:15 about how Christ's death and resurrection gives meaning to our lives. Here's 2 Corinthians 5:15. And Jesus died for all, so that all those who live might live longer to and for themselves, but to and for Him. Let me read that again, just so we get it. 2 Corinthians 5:15. And Jesus died for all, so that all those who live might not live no longer to and for themselves, but to and for Him who died and was raised again for their sakes. God says, you weren't not made to live for you. You were made to live for Him. And when we tap into that understanding about why we are here, our lives, our purpose, will start to have real meaning, not this superficial nonsense that so many do when they go to church and want to just feel good about it. No. Real love is an action. And for many of us, that means a sacrifice that you have not been making needs to be made. That's why the Bible tells us that since Jesus is alive, we have everything to live for. And the final reason Christ's resurrection matters so much is we have a future in heaven. And that future starts the moment we're born again. Now, I'll admit, sometimes we kind of get a taste, I think, of paradise in this life. But it doesn't take long before we're reminded that this life isn't paradise. Right? So how can we reconcile what the Bible says here about having a future in heaven and the future that starts now? And before I answer that question, I want you to know that the Apostle Peter wasn't alone in this teaching. This text that we use by the Apostle Peter was not an isolating teaching by the early church. Okay, I'm referring to, listen to what the Apostle Paul says to those in the city of Ephesus that are following Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 6, Paul was inspired to write this, "But God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus." And notice here that the Bible, this, this, the verses there, is speaking in the present tense. Paul was telling them right then and there, at that time. This is saying that those who've accepted God's grace are raised from the dead along with Christ and seated with him in heavenly realms then. So oh my gosh, how could that be happening right now? The Bible is looking at the prospect of heaven from God's perspective. In other words, in God's perspective, the future is right now. If my faith, my trust is in the death, burial, and resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ, then I have complete confidence that heaven, that paradise, is my home. And we get a taste of that every now and then here on earth, but they're only little tastes. But our faith is in Christ. One day, we're going to experience paradise forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And we'll enjoy the real thing forever and ever and ever. So, why not start being joyful now about that? Start celebrating right now about that. Because Jesus was raised from the dead. He is alive. And he is with the Father right now. Hallelujah. God bless you. Until next time.